Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Bobby Moore and Sir Jeff Hurst, the Trailer Booking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning. This is more than just a podcast. The most listened to podcast on Spotify.
Get in.
West Ham.
Created by West Ham fans.
Yeah, not award winning, right? We upset a few people. But apparently the feedback we've got online is, one, we're the only podcast where we ask, did you watch the game? And some people say no. We're the only podcast where one the founder often doesn't turn up. He's not here tonight. And we're the only podcast where the host, me, often goes off to pick someone up and sometimes does or doesn't come back. We're the only podcast to eat while we record. So with that in mind, that's why we are award... No, we're not award-winning. We're the most listened to West Ham fan podcast on Spotify. And back, obviously, there is no George. He said he would be back for the new season, but not quite. He said give him a week, next week. But back by popular demand, Canning Town Lane, where are you? What are you doing?
Evening. I'm at home sketching Mark Bonan for a painting.
Ooh, nice. Johnny B, where are you? What are you doing?
At home, talking to yous.
And last but not least, he's muting himself at the moment, which means he's eating. Nigel, where are you? What are you doing?
Get it on, Len.
What? Oh, that's right, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm in my shed.
Shedman. Finish your what-sits?
Yeah, I've just finished my animals as well.
Have you got?
Did you
like,
ever watch his TV program?
Have you
I used
got?
I used to love that as a kid.
Have you got orange fingers now?
No, because I've licked them all.
Did you wash your hands when you came back from work? I hope so. Anyway, we're here. We're back. It's episode. It's episode 3, season 13, episode 3. This is the 491st edition. Only 9 more for that magic 500. And as usual, we're back with a new season. We have played a Premier League game, so we can talk about it. So let's go straight into the action. Nigel, did you watch the game?
No, I didn't.
Great comedy value. It's almost like I set that up. I set them up. You knock them down.
Yep.
Why? Did you not know the season was starting? You have
a
photo of me going on holiday, and you miss the first game of the season.
Yeah, my granddaughter's first birthday party was in my garden. So,
so you couldn't arrange it earlier. She's like one.
It was arranged for 1 and 3, and I did say to my daughter. Is it all out of three then? Because it's like all out of three. Naturally, party starts when people turns up. The last people left about 7.
Couldn't you have a little crafty look at, you know?
Well, it was funny because my daughter's mate turned up and she loves her West Ham, goes home and away. And she's like, how are we going to convince Molly to let us watch the football? And she said that while the good lady wife was standing next to me. And I point out to her, it's not Molly you've got to convince, it's the good lady.
I wonder so why you wasn't sanctimonious on Twitter on Saturday night.
So, well, I do struggle to comment on a game where all I've watched is match of the day. The only thing I've got to go on is that people were there, seemed to think the game was quite okay. It was decent enough. Happy with a point. Probably happy to be back from football. Happy probably because they'd had a beer or 10, Dodds. But generally, people at the game were happy, while those that watched it on the TV weren't.
Well, so we shall see, actually.
It's hard.
We shall see.
Yeah, it's hard to get a grasp. I knew it weren't good. I'll just wrap it up. I knew it weren't good, because when they thought that Everton versus Fulham was a better game to put on Match of the Day before West Ham versus Bournemouth, I just thought, oh, shit. And
you never get the real grasp of it. No, I mean, the highlights, you know that. And I'm going to disagree and say we actually had quite a decent game.
I mean, yeah, the way I see it is, you know, we hit the post a couple of times.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of the ball, but they got a new Spanish manager who's going to play that way. And Moyes don't mind not having the ball.
They hit the woodwork as well.
Yeah, they did. And it's what you do when you've got the ball, and that seemed to be the problem. Yeah. A fantastic goal by Bowen.
Bowen's on fire. And he's shagging Harry Maguire. Bowen's on fire. And he's shagging Harry Maguire. Well, that's what they were singing.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, it was...
And we're champions of Europe. You never sing that. Yeah. And we're champions of Europe. You know what we are.
Thanks for that. Well, anyway, a point away from home is always a good effort for me. So I won't be disappointed with a point away from home. But saying that, you've got to follow that with a win at home. And now next home game's Chelsea. So I'm looking forward to the win. Done.
There you go. Your granddaughter's father is a West Ham fan, Charlie.
He is indeed.
And he don't wear the trousers that he went, let's have this at like 10 o'clock in the morning and finish by 2.
No. Well, no one has a 1-year-old birthday party at 10 o'clock in the morning. And frankly, I don't know what time you would expect my wife to get up to cook all the food, because she did all the buffet herself. I had to get all the garden ready.
Why she need a party anyway? She's only fucking one. She's not going to remember it.
No. Well,
take photos.
Don't go down that road. Yeah, because perhaps someone
tried
else said
that. Didn't you?
Did you have one of those
it was a good party, though.
Silver hedgehogs with pineapple and cheese on sticks?
No, my wife don't do. She does foods for the adults, foods for the kids, loads of food.
Yeah. With what's it, obviously.
That was for the kids.
Anyway, it's not a 1-year-old and food podcast. It is a football podcast. Yeah. Let's get back to the football. Johnny boy, this comes to you.
Hello.
Tell me about your positive experience watching West Ham take on the Cherries.
We did all right first half, I thought.
We
didn't look, you know, all the doom and gloom flying about, and we didn't have number 41 there, and
We looked all right.
I thought Paqueta was doing well. Glad to see him playing.
Yeah. Not striking.
Souček had a good game.
New contract.
We looked all right. The goal was really good goal, really good finish.
It was, wasn't it?
And I thought we
almost looked like he was playing for the manager.
I thought that we would be all right. I thought we were going to be able to hold on to it, but clearly, no.
Defended too deep.
We reverted backwards. We gave up so much possession. We didn't, and it was. I mean, there's talk of I actually missed the last 20 minutes because I had to get a train. I was going out. But there was talk of on the what I've seen on Twitter and that people could actually hear him always telling on the sideline to drop back.
So hang on a minute. Nigel didn't watch it. You watched 70 minutes.
Yeah, well, I had
to
be
still
in...
winning when you left.
Yeah.
Oh, this is classic.
That's life, isn't it? It's
I can't wait to get to Len.
these things, like, you know, these things get booked in and you've got to go to them. So, But yeah, so yeah, I wasn't surprised we drew, but I was hopeful that we could have. Well, with that, I thought that goal deserved a win, and I was hopeful to start off with a win, and that would just straight away give us a lift. But
we could have done, couldn't we? I did think we were going to snatch her, and it probably would have felt a little bit harsh.
And you know, when they scored, apparently we turned it up, and we stepped
did.
Up.
Yeah,
when
we
went
no,
at
we
them
did. And, we woke up, so we.
And it's just you know, it sounds like
just
you,
before
reverted, haven't we? Just
yeah,
reverted.
Before
to,
Len
nothing's
comes
changed.
In, you could hear Moyes saying, get back, and you know, defend, and of course we play well too deep. They, you could see it coming a mile off, and I'm surprised that he couldn't see it. And you know, they scored their goal, and suddenly we switched up again, and we were really trying.
I asked the question, didn't I, when I was at the train station, and I was looking at all the feeds and things, and then I looked at the substitutions. And I was like, so he generally took Kira or put Kira on for 4 hours, and where did he play him? It's just frustrating on that front, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But hey.
But you know, Len's gonna say something positive about Souček, about Moyes. He's gonna see something that
none
of us...
right?
What are you going to say something positive about? Souček.
Souček.
He did have a good game, actually, didn't he? It's funny what a new four-year contract
will
do.
We didn't look like a midfield devoid of a world-class player at all. In fact, I thought it moved better than it did previously. Souček benefited from not receiving the ball in a static position. He had more inertia going forward, working well. For now's... although sloppy at times, wanted the ball, wanted to pass the ball forward, made tackles, all going great. And then Moyes wants to defend the midfield that was beating their midfield, would have won the game in my opinion. He wants them to tuck into the defence. And that was where the problem started. And as you say, moment they score, we want to go back up there again.
Yeah.
Moyes is shouting, take a breather. They don't want to take a breather. They want to fucking win the game. They're sportsmen. That's what sportsmen do. Strange situation. I thought we played well. And
a few questions to you, Len.
Go on.
Right, cool. Putting Areola in ahead of...
I wouldn't have cared either way, but I suppose you got to start... someday you got to play him.
Yeah, and
he's an expensive second goalie.
He did say afterwards that, you know, I've got two world class and I want competition. So he hasn't said I'm giving it to Areola, which is, I know, a bit of a sensitive subject, but
what about the third goalie on the bench? Does he stand a chance playing?
No, but what is it about him and two goalies on the bench? You know?
I nearly dropped my first C-bomb.
Anang, wasn't it? Was it Anang? I assume it was Anang.
Yeah,
I agree with you 100% on that. Then that, you know, we've just got the FA Cup youth winning team. Yeah. Put a,
and do you know what? The funny
youngster
thing
on the bench.
The funny thing about it is that after the first half and into the second half, I started having a bit more faith in the players that we'd already got, thinking, you know, Fornells didn't do a bad job there. Souček was better without Rice. I don't know why that is, to be honest, but I just think watching Rice play for the Arsenal game, still loving the sideways pass, isn't he? And the person who receives it standing there, and they know, okay, they've got the skills to get it out, but I don't know why we just seem to. Well, Souček seemed to play better without him.
Yeah, no,
it was good going
forward. Paqueta's like, well,
yeah.
Head and shoulders.
He was played out of position though, wasn't he?
Yeah. Head and shoulders above, and he's control of the ball, and he's tracking back, his work ethic, his tackle back, all sorts.
Yeah.
And he's professional, you know, with his head turned. You know, when Man City come for you, don't care who you are. You know, a lot of people would have their head turned, but he put a shift on. Unlike Agüero, I mean, Agüero seems to be one of those hit and miss players. And
does, doesn't he?
And he didn't have a good game on
He was though. Getting torn apart by Solanke, yeah. didn't he? He just yeah, kept absolutely. Getting beat time and time again.
So he did have a bad game then?
He did have a bad game,
because he
yeah.
got donkied yeah. up on Carrot and Booze last night.
Yeah.
So I yeah. thought, ooh.
I don't know what donkied harsh. Up means, but...
Well, if you watch Carrot and Booze instead of just appearing on
I don't. I don't. No, I don't do any YouTube. You know me.
No.
People
no.
ring me
But
sometimes.
You appear on it, oh.
Well, no, they just ring me and I answer it on my mobile and go, hello, who's this? And, you know, sometimes I end up...
You went hello, and I switched it.
I know
they
said that. They said that, yeah. which is why I put the boot into you.
I just went asleep.
Yeah,
didn't have it switched on at all.
He
started to.
He regretted it. He was depressed yeah. by
I did. I actually saw that because I was just flicking through, and I see it, and I just caught the end of you.
So, let me ask. I mean, Zoom.
That's why I found your comment earlier quite amusing, Nigel.
Yeah.
Zuma.
Zoom.
Interest cat kicker. Interesting choice as captain. Do you think he's going to sort of spread the love around as captain to begin with? Or is he just waiting for Harry Maguire to join? Or was he waiting for James Ward-Prowse to join? He's got a few choices now.
Well, Ward-Prowse was Southampton's captain, wasn't he?
He was. But Souček, obviously, is captain of his national side. I don't know if Zuma... I assume he must have put Zuma as captain. Has Zuma ever captain anyone? It was an interesting choice, all I say. I thought it was going to go to Souček, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah. Well, maybe in his mind, he's not going to start all the time, eh?
Maybe. Maybe. Although he maybe. Played like he meant it.
Apparently, he had one of his best
like
games.
He did. No, absolutely.
He was good, Nigel.
Do you think Rice was holding him back then?
Yeah, I think that's the...
Because it is funny. It was noticeable with Souček that actually, when Rice decided he wanted to be more of a supposed box-to-box midfielder, that was the drop-off for Souček. And it was noticed at the time, and then people just carried on piling on to Souček.
Hmm.
When actually...
But if you can't put a theory behind it, then you can't really go with it, can you?
Well, no, but what it is that when he first came into the team, he was more forward playing, and he did very well. Then Rice, I think it was two seasons ago, was like, right, when Noble went on semi-retirement and Rice became captain, there was a notable shift of Rice being able to push on more, which meant Souček had to sit more. And when you look at Souček, his only real benefit to the club
though,
is going forward. Because his only benefit to us is going forward.
Yeah.
That's it. He ain't realistically, he's not a defensive midfield player. He's
well, no, you're right. But the Moyes plays him as the fucking defender, let's be frank.
Yeah, but then that's what I'm saying. Was that because of the Rice was given the green light to go forward more often and Souček had to sit back more. Now without that with Rice, he, you know, it could have given him a bit more license to go forward.
I mean, he could be. He could have
it's a only good, theory.
Yeah, he could be. But... Well, I mean, the pile-on was more the fact that he kept passing it to the opposition.
Yeah.
And just kept tripping over and losing the ball. But... You know.
Right. I mean, he's not a ball-playing midfielder, is he?
Let's not get this right.
No. He's not. You don't want the ball at his feet.
No.
How do we feel about the post-match comments from David Moyes that he...
Oh, don't listen to them.
Bowen could be a striker.
Oh, what did I say to you this morning? Oh, fuck off.
All right. So just me thinks it ain't a bad idea then.
Oh, it's just like... just because he can't identify a manager striker. What's
that's
he going to do?
It.
Convert someone who he can deal with and then what?
Well, yeah, but what if it works? What if, like, and this is the thing, what if, like he did with Arnautovic and like he got a tuna of Antonio for a year, what if it does work?
It could well work because Bowen might well score 8 to 10 goals. He might do that anyway.
He'll do that. And we want...
Yeah.
Something better.
But when he does that, he did that with Antonio, that's what he got, wasn't it? 8 to 10 goals. You know, so, you know, you kind of...
12, I think, was his best season. Antonio.
Yeah. So...
Which is paltry.
It could be deemed a success if he plays him up front and he scores 10 goals. But he might have scored 10 goals on the right, and if we'd have got a strike, it's just...
Yeah, but I think it's pretty obvious while we've got Moyes here that it ain't worth going and buying a strike. For me personally, yeah. I think while we've got Moyes here, it ain't worth it. I don't see the point of him going and buying a strike.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that. And there's this talk also now, I'm sure we'll get to it, of Lingard training.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. So yeah. We're going to do a little transfer update in a minute.
So, yeah.
But that again makes sense because Moyes is here for another year, hopefully only. And
if you caught the end of it, you would have heard me talk about that.
Caught the end of what?
When I talked to Claret and Booze about
it. I didn't catch the start of it. You went, hello, I switched off.
Yeah, they did say if you were coming on, you were switching off.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't mind listening to them, lads, but as soon as you've got sort of plenty of you.
So what did you say at the end then?
I said that basically that Steinemann's been brought in to find a new manager and that I can't see, unless he loses six in a row, I can't see him sacked before Christmas, which depressed them. But really, unless we're in relegation trouble, he would see his contract out till June, but I didn't see it being renewed. And I believe Steinemann has got a remit to find an next manager by the summer.
So with all that in mind, then all this talk, like Nigel's saying, about moving Bowen across, bringing Lingard in, Paqueta goes, Lingard's and Paqueta's place. And,
potentially.
All these things could be sort of come to fruition and we still have 150 million in the bank ready for new manager.
Yeah, exactly. It's a transition year, John. Another transition year.
Yeah.
Another one.
So will next year be. Yeah. And the one after that. And the one after that.
But that is how it's going to... And at the end of the day, that is how it's got to be. I get that people don't like Moyes and whatever. For me, though, I don't see the point in keep blowing that trumpet when, frankly, we know this is the end of it.
Yeah.
This is the last year.
And they talked about having a countdown, 280 days, and counting down, having that on their YouTube channel, counting down the number of days. But, you know, that's if we're managing expectations, that's what we should do. He's here to the 30th of June, right? And whatever the last day of the season.
Well,
count
them
down.
We don't know that because there's two things that could snowball that. One, if we do, at the end of the day, a point against Bournemouth when you've got Chelsea to come, Luton in their first home game in Premier League football, which we all know what happened when Nottingham Forest did that. And then you've got Man City after that. You know, we could be sitting, you know, with one point after four or five games.
You know this, and usually you're really sensible. There won't be any knee-jerk reaction last season. There won't be a knee-jerk reaction. He'll have until December unless he loses six games on the trot.
Yeah, well, that could happen. But also, what could...
We haven't lost one yet.
No, but what could change it, on the other coin, is what if he does get us...
It's shocking, isn't it?
No, it is.
I know.
By hook or by crook, have us in the top 10. And by hook or by crook,
he won't get a renewal.
Gets us to the quarter-final or the semi-final of the Europa League. What are they going to do then, Sean? Because I'm telling you...
I don't think they will.
If we have a positive season, basically, which, that's the thing. We all want to have a positive season. We all want to have a level of success. Yeah.
But that could come back at a cost.
Yeah. It's just
there is a financial implication to it all. He doesn't put players' values up and he's not interested in younger players.
That's the problem. That's why he don't put value up because... Yet again, and this is the thing I do find disappointing. I don't mind the signing of Edson, but James Ward-Prowse, Harry Maguire, if we get the Lingard. Oh, here we go. Dad's Army again. The same thing I complained about in 2018 when we were signing Zabaleta and Joe Hart and Plote Portal like that. We've got to stop doing it.
We've got no legs, have we? So slow.
Here we go. Number of days until the 19th of May 2024, which is the last day of the Premier League system, 279 days. There you go.
There's the podcast title done, isn't it, for this week? 279 days to go.
There you go.
That's why I like my position. Couldn't give a monkey's.
Yeah.
So I don't get upset. I don't get riled up and whatever. I can accept that this is probably his last season.
Yeah, I think it will be.
I think last season, winning that trophy, is peak West Ham for a good 4 or 5 years. And people, I can accept it. It's up to other people if they can or they can't.
Yeah, it is. It's just practically everyone knows what should be done and where it should go. But realistically, Sullivan ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
And this is what we've got. So, you know.
And I think it'd be good for his legacy to go.
Chin up and go.
I think it'd be good for his legacy to go, because I think once he's gone, give it 3-4 years, and then we can start looking what he did achieve and go, actually, that weren't that bad.
Yeah, no, the statistics, the look of the whatever, is undeniably as good as we've done for forever, really, ages.
Well, in the Premier League.
Yeah, in the Premier League. Yeah. But, you know, the reality is, when you go in, if you go in there and you're watching it week in, week out.
Oh, yeah. Give me Harry Redknapp all day long.
Yeah, the football's dire.
Though it did make me laugh last night, the bit I was watching on Claret and Booze. You know, they were complaining about the football and they were going, well, tell me the last time we lost 3-2 or 4-3. And I was straight in the comments, Crystal Palace. So it does happen.
Yeah.
You know, we are entertaining games when we lose. So, you know, and that's why I think once he's gone and it's calmed down, it'll take 2 or 3 years. People can then actually appreciate what we did do.
But if they go too far with his picks, it'll take 2 or 3 years to be able to pick the team apart and change the way we play. But
again, that's where I go to the point where, oh, here we go again. Ward-Prowse, 28. Maguire, 30, isn't he? Not yet 30.
30.
You know, Jesus. You know, let's stop. I'd rather not sign Harry Maguire. To be honest, I think Maguire's a good player, and I'll take him. And if he pulls on the shirt, yeah, I will.
Hold that thought, because we're going to talk about that in a minute. Just hold that thought for a minute. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of a transfer update. So obviously we signed Edson Alvarez.
Did we?
Yeah, £32.8 million.
How did he do on Saturday?
He wasn't fit, even though he said he was fit.
I thought he announced himself to be fit.
He did. £2.6 million of extras. So we've obviously spent over £35 million on him, on £100,000 a week, and not the.
Whoa, Shep! Can we just deal in proper? Don't start doing your inflation shit.
No,
yeah?
£100,000 a week.
No, not the wages.
What
did we buy him for?
£32.8 million.
There you go.
Transfer
Let's stick
fee,
with that. Yeah.
Plus
Let's stick
a potential £2.6 million.
Well,
in
don't
interest.
Inflate it. Yeah.
Well, I'm not inflating it.
Don't add
that's
the two potentials.
Yeah. Just deal with what we've got at the moment in
time. That's a statement they released, by the way. The parent club released.
Yeah, but that's fine. But we've spent £32.8 million.
Yeah. Done.
All right. James Ward-Prowse.
Shown. There's not going to be any success.
James Ward-Prowse signed today. £27 million. Plus £3 million extras over 2 years. They negotiate better payment terms. Again, he's on £100,000 a week because he was the highest earner at Southampton. And all we've done is match his wages. So there's your first two signings.
Money.
Well,
I like the idea of James Ward-Prowse. And he's happy to be here and wants to be here.
He looks so, happy, you know. And I'll tell you what, a lot of Southampton fans I know are not very happy about it and go, he's dead to me. But he put 22 years into Southampton.
That's why I thought he would have stayed.
And, you know, but look, they can't afford it. They've got to trim their wage budget, you know, and he takes 5.2 million of it. So, you know, it was good for all parties, isn't it?
He's ideal for the scenario now.
Yeah.
He's ideal for the Moyes plan. And he's got a level of quality about him.
Yeah.
And
Alvarez, we shall say, I've heard mixed reports about him. Let's see if he was a Moyes pick.
Well,
he
should be ready by Christmas, so we should be able to see.
Yeah. So moving on, I was told by a senior source after this was yesterday, so he has said, look.
Is this all the stuff you said last night?
Yeah, James Ward-Prowse has signed. That was last night, will be announced in the morning, which came true at 9 o'clock this morning. He said two more signings. One will be a centre-back. I mean, we all know that's Harry Maguire.
No.
Hang on, get to that. And the other one's a forward to replace Skamaka. Hopefully a forward to replace Skamaka. So what I was told was, forget all this talk about Aston Villa coming in. Forget all this talk about personal terms. You know, Man United are playing around a bit. I know he was on the bench. I assume he hasn't come on tonight. What I was told today was West Ham are prepared to walk away from Harry Maguire deal unless a decision is made soon. And they actually made a claim that they walked away from Scott McTominay after a similar ultimatum. So what I was told is the reason that James Ward-Prowse took so long is they were negotiating with James McTominay and Man United and Southampton and James Ward-Prowse. And I told you this before, first to get over the line signs. And Scott McTominay, they moved better than the 45 million that Man United wanted. And they were getting towards an agreement. But Scott McTominay didn't want to come to West Ham.
No.
Thought it was
West Ham know that as well. That's why they're fucking all the theatre.
Yeah, but you say that, Len. But what happens is, and this is in real life, right? An agent intermediary. How do you think we made a bid for Colin Gallagher without knowing he didn't want to come to us? And by the way, it's been...
Yeah, but that's just incompetence again all round,
isn't it? It's not incompetence. It's having an agent tell you, oh, yeah, personal terms won't be a problem. Same with Maguire, you know?
No, because if the agent is representing the player we're trying to buy, he needs to tell you whether that player wants to join you or not.
They often lie, John. And this is my understanding. This is why this week, Conor Gallagher has again been linked. And I've spoken to senior sources.
He played 90 minutes.
No, he's made his feeling absolutely clear that he doesn't want to come to West Ham. So it's not true. I don't know who the forward
is. And neither does Harry Maguire, really, does he?
No, of course he don't.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I know some people close to Man United, and they believe that Man United want him out. They believe that having their former captain in the dressing room is disruptive and undermines, what's his name, Fernandes, who's the captain now. So they want him out, right? But they've got to pay him off, because we're only wanting to pay him 120 grand a week and he's on 170. So they've got to pay him off. And maybe we've got to contribute to that to work out where that extra 50 grand comes from the next 3 years, because he had another 2 years on a contract and another 1 year option.
He signed a new 5 year contract in June, didn't he?
I don't know whether it was, it can't have been the June just gone, but
it was, according
was it?
To, yeah,
anyway,
I
get told by an agent it's 170 rather than 200 or 190. There's a lot of numbers, but who cares? It's still a hell of a lot of money. And we won't break our wage structure for him. 120 is the most we'll pay, with the rest coming as a compensation by Man United or by Man United and West Ham as a signing on bonus. Moving on, Mikel Antonio been rumoured today that he is, we've had a new bid in from an unnamed Saudi Arabia club for 11 million euros, 9.5 million.
That'll do.
Well, so I asked senior source and I said, can you confirm or deny this? They wouldn't talk about it. They said, who knows? Which, if you translate, means yes, because otherwise it would be not true.
£9.5 million for Antonio?
Yeah.
You'd take that, wouldn't you?
Well,
hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I think there's a chance we would.
I would.
But here's the problem. The manager can't find a replacement for Scamacca. How are we going to find two by the end of the transfer window?
We won't use any.
He don't need them, does he? He can play up front with Souček and Bowen. There you go.
So, moving on to that, Anthony Martial will not be joining West Ham. He could be joining the Saudi club like Macau Antonio. His wages are $250,000 a week. He was never a target for the Hammers, is what I've told. So we might talk about that sometime in the future, but he wasn't a target. And that's all I'm going to say on that. And of course, the story today, Jesse Lingard has been training with West Ham. I was talking to X earlier today, who asked a senior source who admitted there was a very tiny possibility of a short-term contract, almost a pay-as-you-play. And our good friend Nigel obviously pointed out that Lingard still retains a flat in Stratford in the same block as David Moyes. So they could share a car together for training. Yeah. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Or Lingard could play for the Orient.
He could. I mean, look, if it's a pay-as-you-play, look, if he comes in with his tail between his legs and says, I'll do a six-month contract on $20,000 a week with a $50,000 appearance bonus every time I play, I would take that, right? Would anyone here?
I don't like any of them, so one more won't hurt. But the fact of the matter is he good enough?
I don't like him that much.
He did have a good patch with us. Why can't he get
two
that?
2 years ago, though.
Well, he's still the same player. He's still got the same skill.
Well, Creswell ain't the same player. He's gone on strike.
Fair point. Where are you on this, Nigel?
Yeah, I'm not adverse. I mean, he's on a free. As long as we don't go silly with the money on him, I'm not averse to giving him a tryout. I mean, I would be very strict. I'd definitely have him go for a six-month contract, or give him a contract till January the 1st.
Yeah.
With an option of a second 6 months.
Yeah.
And a goal bonus, shit money, goal bonus.
Yeah.
No social media.
And basically come in. What I'd hope is that he was a wanted player last year, and he chose the money option. They showed me the love bollocks.
Yeah,
let's get it right. The love that they showed him was pound notes.
Yeah.
Now, it's his career, it's his life, and he's entitled to do it. But he sort of come a bit unstuck, even though, you know, it's funny, he probably did get his payout because his contract said if they stay up, he's entitled to his...
He's got another million,
So, well done
for
him.
He got over 10 million, I think, for that one season.
Now... Let's go back to playing football again, eh?
Yeah. He got nearly equivalent to 180-190 grand a week in the end with his bonus and
His career was rejuvenated at West Ham, and if it was thanks to his rejuvenation, and I think purely down to his rejuvenation, that we got sixth spot and got in the Europa League. Because I think without him, we might not have done it. I was so pleased I got a ticket for that Southampton game. Which was the only game played that season with fans.
Oh, yeah. Well,
there was two, and it was the Man United one.
Yeah, I went to that.
December. Because I got to see Lingard play for West Ham.
Yeah.
Because I felt so highly of him, and I still do, for what he did. Everybody's got free choice. I ain't going to slag him off for taking that decision. So, yeah, let's see what he can do. It was a disappointment at Forest. He could come here and work.
He's lost. I mean, he didn't look fit. He's put what he'd gain weight and all sorts. So, you know, whatever. It just will suit our current scenario if Paqueta definitely goes as well. It's an easy option for them, isn't it?
Good link. Yeah. So, Paqueta, as I keep on correcting you, there was an initial bid. it wasn't a bid. Here's Man City, intermediary. If we bid 60 million plus 10 million of add-ons, would you sell Paqueta? Answer, no. So it's not a bid. people call it a verbal bid, but it's an inquiry. No second bid came in. I know the French Foot Merco, or whatever they're called, said that they bid 101 million euros, which is 87 million pounds. We'd have snapped their arm off at 87 million pounds.
Yeah.
We never got that bid. And who knows? City are one of those clubs that maybe they will bid, maybe they won't. My understanding, look, I haven't got an exact figure, but sounding people out, we would want at least 80 million pounds in a deal. Maybe some of that would be extras to sell Pacatar. And do you know what? We paid 36 million for him. That wouldn't be a bad profit. Do you see what I did there, Nigel? Because I haven't put on the extras, even though with extras it was 53 million. I'm doing what you did, which is saying we only paid 36 million for him. Because again, Leon made a statement to say it was 36 million plus 18 million of extras. So you can't have it both ways.
Have they got a sell on?
They've got a sell on of 10% of the profit. Yeah.
Mm.
So. Is Nigel just saying quiet or is he muted?
No, I'm not muted.
Yeah. So I don't know if you... I've got this funny feeling he might not go and City may not put a second bid in. They have got interest in, I think his name is Kudos. But no bid been made. I don't know anything about the player. And finally, I guess the only one really mentioning, because there's a lot of reports, but I don't hear them, of, you know, proper concrete information, is Aaron Cresswell. Obviously has been not making himself available for training, call it striking, whatever. He's now training.
Well, is he injured, Sean?
No.
Right.
He's not injured. But you know what? You could have permission. Maybe. I'm not saying he has, by the way. And we talked about this last week. Yeah, but I think it's really harsh to say on strike.
Why?
He's not training. Or he wasn't. He's now training again, but on his own and not with the rest of the squad.
He's on strike. You not make yourself fucking available.
Gary
O... One thing to do is make yourself available.
No, you're probably aware, or if you're not aware, Wolves actually pulled the plug on this deal. They originally offered $2.5 million in add-ons. So basically wanted no transfer fee, and we would earn $2.5 million on add-ons if he played for Wolves. And of course... We rejected that, and then they withdraw from negotiations at all, saying we've changed our mind. They've got no money. It's well known. We want $4 million, not the five. And Gary O'Neill has come in, obviously ex-Hammer, and done a U-turn and saying, no, I do want Cresswell. So it could happen. The only thing I'll add is we're not looking for a left-back, whether he goes or not. Now, what that means, I don't know. Agüero, I guess, could play left-back. I know he started doing that if Harry Maguire came in. I believe Ben Johnson can play left-back. In fact, you could argue he plays a better left-back than he does a right-back. So I think there are options. But, you know, this Chelsea kid that's been mentioned, and I think there's a French kid that's been mentioned left-back. My information is we're not in the market for a left-back this summer. And we're not in a left-back for any more... We're not in the market. Yeah, we're not in the market for anything but a centre back or a striker or a forward at the moment. And obviously, we'd probably be in the market for a midfielder if Pacatar left. So Ben Johnson doesn't look like he's going now. Who knows? Obviously, if Antonio would probably try and get a second forward on loan or something, but if we can't get a first one, I just don't know if we'd get a second one. I don't think I've forgotten anything on the transfer roundup. But it's going to be a crazy, crazy how many days? It's going to be a crazy 2 weeks. I'll be in Spain as from Saturday for most of it. But I'm sure you boys will do a transfer special on the deadline day. What is that day? What is that day? Is that
August the 31st, generally?
August the 31st, 11 o'clock. Yeah. What day is that? Do you know?
Last day of the month.
Yeah. Great. Thanks.
Is it a weekday?
I don't know.
We don't even know what time of day it is, let alone who's watched the match.
All right.
It's either a Wednesday or a Friday. I think it's a Friday.
It's a Thursday, 31st of August. It's there
you
Thursday.
Go. John, how do you feel about Maguire?
How do I feel about Maguire? I think Maguire will be a decent centre back for us. I just don't feel that he particularly wants to come, and I think he's going to cost a lot of money and a lot of wages.
Look, Man United paid $80 million from Leicester City. You know, a player like that doesn't lose its skill. He might lose his confidence.
Yeah, no, I think I'm sure he'd be. He'll improve our defence. I would hope.
Look at Lingard. I mean, Lingard was nowhere with lack of confidence. He came in and had a great 6 months with us. And you never know that, you know, Slabhead could do the same. And I think we talked about it last week. Isn't that what they call him, Slabhead?
Yeah. James
Ward-Prowse corner, best taker in the Premier League.
I'm looking forward to set piece United to
the best dead ball header in the Premier League, Slabhead.
Yeah,
and 15 goals like that all day long, John.
I just
can't wait.
The rest of the time, 11 men behind the ball.
Yeah, you just can see how Moyes is lining it up
play for corners.
More Moyes like
play for corners.
It is, honestly, Allardyce would be more entertaining.
Yep.
I don't think he would, mate. I'm sorry. I don't know if you're fishing or whatever, but you've hooked me.
Oh, we got one. Reel him in, boys.
You just cannot. There is no way that you can compare Moyes' football. It can be a negative brand, but it's not in Allardyce style. With Moyes' ball is about playing with the ball to feet. It ain't with Allardyce. Now, I get it with the set pieces things. And I do sometimes wonder that on what basis should a football club be run? Should it be run by those that have got ownership for it? They are the managers and it's there to purely be successful. Or should it be run for the context of the fans? Because I'm a bit in the confused bit now. Because I always used to think, that I don't know. Sometimes I think, us fans, we need to suck up realistically what we're given. But then when it comes to Allardyce, the man was alien to our culture. But I always believe there should be a culture.
But the culture that he was alien to is the culture that we get from Moyes. We're alien to that as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And this is the thing where I am like erring on that. Well, and where I think the ownership, are they selling us out? With Moyes, I think I'm sort of erring that they are, because actually, I think by hook or by crook, the majority of the fans ain't fans of David Moyes.
No.
I think I'm fair in saying that.
Yeah.
The majority of fans. So therefore, when does it come a point that the ownership think, do you know what? Because if the fans are the lifeblood of the club, when do you start to actually go and give them what they want?
Well, they don't care, because the same ownership did bring in Allardyce. What I mean? So they did bring him in, and that was completely anti West Ham. Yeah. And then they brought Moyes in. We all kind of agreed he wasn't like entertaining or whatever, but we were in such a shit state. I think we all agreed we could do with some stability, and he's done what he's done. But his brand of football is anti our history and our.
That's the funny thing when you look at this ownership, and when you break it down to that, that if you look at it, the Allardyce and Moyes are the two longest serving managers under their ownership.
Successful as well.
Were people that are supposedly steeped in West Ham tradition, and I'm going to shoot my dog. I'll kick him if he keeps yapping. Oh, mate,
I can't hear him.
Oh, good.
No, we can't really.
It's foxes hanging around. So he's down the side of my shed. But anyway, what we've ended up with, again, no surprise, under the Sullivan ownership, two managers that are actually alien to the club that we all grew up supporting.
Yeah, the culture and everything about.
Yeah.
And that they were supposed to look after.
Yeah.
So now I'm not erring on the, actually, the quicker we do move Moyes on, the better for the club.
Well, it's just a case of a club like ours that generally we don't have success. And I know we've come from our most success that we've had for years, but generally we don't have success. And the enjoyment of supporting a team like West Ham is the match day experience. Yeah, watching the game, watching the being entertained and watching the like the Di Canios and the watching these Maverick players that we end up with. That's our joy because we don't get much else anywhere else.
And as fans, we're quite forgiving. Don't worry about social media, what you think of fans on there. West Ham fans are forgiving. They'll tolerate, you know, the unlucky result for a bit of entertainment. They will. Because that's why we can, you know, have a stadium so big because we turn up.
And why people like Carlton Cole are held in a level of esteem but were clearly not very good.
Yeah, he was shit. Let's not mess it up. As strikers go, he's possibly the most successful striker and in the Golden Sullivan era. Well, no, but he was shit. You know, but he earned my respect when we went down, and rather than be sold, he took a pay cut.
Yeah,
now, I got a lot of time for that. Purely because that says I like the club. I love the fact that he loves the club, though there's a bit of me that thinks, well, we're the only club actually, Colton, that would put up with you. But he left us and then came back when we needed him, though he couldn't get another club, so there might have been a bit of that. But then when he's left and finished his career, went to Celtic and fell over and scored the most Colton Cole goal ever you'd ever likely to see. People ever ask me how good he is, I show him the goal he scored against Celtic where he missed the ball, fell on his arse, the ball hit the post, hit his head and went in or something stupid like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
But he still comes back, and he only talks up the club.
Yeah.
And everything else. And I've got a lot of time for that.
And that's what, as a club and as a fan base, that's, you know, that's our level of, of our level of expectation and our level of appreciation. You know, you do...
He's like George Parris to me. You know, George was, you know, George was shit, really. He weren't that great when you look at the team that he played in and longevity. But by God, did we love him.
Yeah. But I would say, and that's the thing, and that's, you know, as a fan base of a club, you know, I mean, all we really ask for is a level of entertainment, maybe a little bit more than 30% possession, and having a go, when we, especially when we're in the lead. You know, let's try and win games as opposed to not lose games.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a lot to ask, I don't think.
I mean, is that right? He came out after the game and said, I thought we'd hold on to the 1-0 lead.
Yeah, he did.
This is
he could have got a second.
You know what?
As extreme as some of the people are on YouTube, there's a bit of me that thinks you have got a point there.
There wasn't a video, right? And so I was... tweeting, as you know, I've ramped up my blue tick Twitter output from Twitter lately, or X as it's known. It was just barmy, some of the quotes he did, and they were getting 100,000 views because no one could believe quite what he was saying. He literally opened his mouth and did his usual, you know. I think he even did the, you do know we won the Europa Conference League. That, he did. He's just...
Says that a few more times.
He mentioned it on the pre-match conference. He goes, you know what, I was just walking through the training ground, and I saw pictures of people holding up the trophy, and it reminded me what a great bunch of blokes we've got. You're thinking, you just find any way to mention that you won a trophy, mate.
To bring it round.
Yeah. Anyway, talking about that, two more coaches he did mention. The one thing he did mention pre-conference is I'm about to appoint two coaches in the next week, and I was having a chat with X just before we came on air.
Yes, so they've only got 1-year contracts then.
Funny enough, we'd never heard of them, so I was just speaking to X, and he said Harry Newman is one of them, opposition analyst. Henry Newman. The only Henry Newman I can find is someone born 33 years old, born in Birmingham, who was the interim head coach at Barnet. So I assume it's him. And I assume he's
no relation.
I don't think he's a relation to Rob Newman, but you never know in this game. The other guy is a Spanish coach, and we've been trying to work out who it is. They worked at Getafe. Is it Getafe?
Getafe.
And there's two coaches there, assistant coaches, that's contracts ended in June because they've just replaced their manager. So I assume
apparently, Sean, that's what the Zulus said at Rock Drift.
What's that?
Before they attacked.
What's that?
Get taffy.
Get taffy. Yeah, I don't even know if that's racist or not.
Well, no, because obviously they were attacking the Welsh Guards.
With a Welsh are a characteristic that's protected, I'm sure.
All right.
I'm going to check taffy.
Is taffy racist? Nacho Fernandez is possibly one of them. And there's another one called Peto or Pito. If you look up Getafe and look at who they're on transfer market and look who their assistant coaches are, I believe it's one of them. But
or not, if you've got a war for life going on.
Yeah, or not. We'll find out. He get his two coaches.
Like ex-West Ham football now? No? The Twitter's changed its name.
What do you mean?
Well, like, are you like ex-West Ham football?
No, I am still West Ham football with an ex that Adam did me for my profile. But, you know, I won't say I haven't monetized the blue tick, and I'm going to see how it works out. And I have ramped up my information.
Well, could have monetized a 6'2" Twitter account and had double bubble. You're missing a trick there.
Oh, yeah, could do. You need, at the time I did it, you needed 15 million impressions. You now only need 5 over 3 months. So, I don't know. I have to check.
That's a lot of impressions you have to do, Sean. Do you start off with the basics? Right.
I know you're going to do this. Zombie keeper. Just like that. just like that. Is that right?
Well, sort of, yeah.
Yeah. There was something else I was going to talk about, but do you know what? It's completely gone now. Is there any other news items?
Well, when do you think we'll see Alvarez?
Well, I'm hoping he'd be at least on the bench for Chelsea, but you never know because he said, he hasn't trained since the Conf Cup. I don't know how long ago the Conf Cup was, but
June, wasn't it?
Was it June?
June or July.
So he's going to say he's got to do his pre-season, so maybe he's not going to be ready for Chelsea, but you can't use the same thing on James Ward-Prowse, can he?
No, because did he play the first game of the season? He did, yeah. But they beat Sheffield Wednesday.
Is that injured?
Yeah.
Oh, Ward-Prowse, is that injured?
No, is he?
Danny's back doing that silly fucking golfing.
Golfing. He didn't actually take the shot. I've just remembered the last thing I was going to talk about. This morning, I'm sure if you were watching, you two didn't watch, but you could see our new technical director, Tim Stuyden, in the stands. And I was searching.
Was the tweet I saw. I was searching. Fucking scraping the barrel.
I was
shocked, horror. West Ham. West Ham technical director seen at West Ham football game.
Yeah, I know.
Here's
the hilarious thing. So I got a picture from Getty.
We'll be the judge of that.
I've been looking through, can I get a screenshot from the footage? Because no pictures exist of Tim while he's been at West Ham. So I was desperate to get one.
What about the one on the airplane with Alvarez?
Except for that one, but he's with other people. So I wanted to get a picture. And I got one of his back and I tweeted that out on Saturday. And I roped in David Horsink to go through on Peacock the replay of the game looking for the screenshot while he was at a swimming pool. True story.
My God, Dave, you've sunk to a level I thought you would never sink to.
What the fuck's wrong with him?
And so anyway, he couldn't find it. So I got this pitch from Getty and I thought, well, I'll tweet it and I'll say, and I did this morning, West Ham technical director Tim Stuyden watched the Hammers draw against Bournemouth at the Vitality Stadium on Saturday. Well, how many views do you think it got?
Too many.
56,000 with 29 comments going, shock horror, West Ham employee watches West Ham game.
That's why he got so many views. Like, you don't know what you're doing.
16 retweets, 248 likes.
Anyway, no one actually really gives a shit.
Go on.
What were you saying about the kit, Jay, Len?
Oh, I had to bring up something about the reduced kit.
Well, that was untrue as well. Well, you
put it out there.
Well, that got 178,000 likes because I was sent it and was told that Pacatars was reduced, which it did look like they were discounting it down. It was in the late title, but it was reduced. But then someone who went into it, so that got 178,000 views.
Oh, Sean, who cares?
But hang on.
This is it now.
Then someone went into the store and said, it was only one shirt, and the reason it was marked down is there's a mark, a black mark at the front of the shirt, and it was damaged goods, and that's why that one shirt was marked down. Well, they did. They marked it down from 90 to 60 with a black mark at the front.
I'm not a big fan of that kit. I think you could do with a proper badge on it.
No, I think the badge licks it down.
I like the white one.
You should have, and not all this changing and colour coding of the badges. The badge is the badge. Leave it alone.
Do you not like the white one?
I like the white shirt, but I think having the white badge...
It doesn't look like it's got a badge on it.
Iridescent. Yeah. It's iridescent, the badge, I believe.
Certain friends who I can't name today got their deliveries from China, from DHgate, at 13 quid for the away kit. And I tell you what, it looks pretty decent for 13 quid.
I do know. They look all right, their kits.
Yeah. I wonder why. That's why they started doing iridescent badges. So the moody people can't, you know.
I wonder.
It's a bit like a hologram kind of thing.
Maybe we should do a bit of quality control and order one and give it away to one of our listeners.
Well, you can do that when you get all your money in from your impressions on Twitter.
Yeah, true. From old Eon.
Anyway, let's do predictions. We've been yapping for exactly an hour actually. So John, your first game back at the London Stadium.
Woohoo!
In the gods.
Going straight to the supporters club.
What row are you in?
I ain't got a clue, mate. I'll find it when I get there.
You're gonna take some binoculars, gonna take some tissues, nosebleeds?
Yeah, I will do. I'm gonna take board sweets in case my ears pop.
Yeah, all the old ones. Right, Chelsea.
Chelsea, we're going to lose 3-1.
Len, you'll be taking your new position up close to Nigel, also in the gods.
Yeah. I think Chelsea will win 3-0.
Okay, great. It's looking good. Nigel, well, you've always been in the gods, but you've got two friends now.
Well, I've got more than two friends, Sean. I'm more popular than you.
Well done.
I fancy a draw.
Do you?
It means you're going to lose when he says that.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay.
I don't think Chelsea are that great. Not that I watched them. I didn't watch them against Liverpool, so I don't know how good they were.
Well, I did watch a bit of it. They looked pretty decent, to be fair. They're on the up.
That's why we're going 3-0.
I won't be there. I'll be in Spain watching from probably Fuengirola in one of the sports bars with my son.
Did you? You dirty old man, you.
Did Ola know it was happening at the time? Yeah.
Ola was a she.
I'm going to go for a... This is where I'm going to be in the same bar that I watched the Europa Conference League final. On the front of Fuengirola. 1-0 win. I think we're going to have a shock 1-0 win and people are going to go, oh my God, James Ward-Prowse is a free-kick genius. He will score two goals.
Well, he won't come on till the 70th minute.
Yeah, but he's going to score in the 70th minute, 75th minute and get a hat-trick on the 80th minute.
He will never score a free-kick again.
You'd reckon?
Yeah, now we've signed him. You watch.
You know he's
It'll
only...
be like, you know, he was like that. Not O'Neill. It might have been O'Neill. He was like that. Or Gary Taylor.
Matty Taylor,
yeah. Just put loads of free kicks in against us. Yeah. When he took them for us, Jesus Christ, lucky to keep him in the ground.
Let me tell you a quick story about James Ward-Prowse. He is on 17 free kick goals in the Premier League. The record is 18 held by David Beckham. And why did he take the number 7 today?
Because of David Beckham's not the number.
Because David Beckham's his hero. And
you know he never played for West Ham, did he?
Who? David Beckham.
James Ward-Prowse knows that Beckham never played for West Ham.
He does,
why would you say such a thing?
Yeah, but that's why he took the number 7.
Yeah, I don't give a fucking shit.
I'm just explaining why he took the number 7. Why?
Well, it's fucking irrelevent. I'll pick number 7. We still have David Beckham.
It's content.
It's signed for content. Fucking West Ham, you fucking bellend.
He's signed for West Ham, but he's going to make a new record and beat Beckham's record of free kicks. He's done 28 in his career and 17.
It's probably just a throwaway comment someone's made somewhere that someone's
it's
put
true.
On Twitter.
Did
to
he
get
say
impressions.
It?
Yeah, he
did.
Did
he actually say it?
Yeah. I love David
fucking,
Beckham.
He's an ill fit
anyway,
by home. He's another fucking idiot,
wasn't
he?
Wasn't David Beckham a local? I know.
Chingford.
Chingford.
Leytonstone.
It's all the same, isn't it? He's an East London boy. He's a towner, isn't he?
Not in Leytonstone, no.
Towner? You sure?
He's from Chingford under his father.
No, he's Leytonstone. They started off in Leytonstone before moving
Ridgeway
up
Rovers.
To Chingford.
Well,
no, that's where he played football. But I had a mate to play for Ridgeway Rovers, and he grew up in Plaistow. So people do travel, innit? Half of Senrab didn't play in Stepney.
Stepney, that's true.
But they all played for it because that was the best team.
You reckon David Beckham was a secret West Ham fan when he was young?
No, he was a Man United fan, like his dad. But he started off in Leytonstone before they moved out. I don't know if it was Iams Park.
Didn't David Beckham's son come to our academy? I'm sure I saw him once with Victoria watching a game.
I don't think so.
I'm sure he did.
Well, anyway. He'd been in America for years. And
I know that, but I'm sure I would find a picture of him
I
watching.
Thought Clivert's son looked decent at the weekend. He came on, didn't he?
Yeah.
For Bournemouth,
anyway,
yeah.
We're waffling. I've been Sean. John's been...
Looking forward to my time back at the bowl.
Nigel's been...
Did I tell you what happened to me at the zoo the other day?
Yes. Oh. But you can tell
find
us...
Find a new home.
You can tell us more in the next episode, and it will get people to listen to the next episode.
Right. Yes,
episode 4. Will you find out what happened to Nigel in the zoo in episode 4? And Len has been...
Oh, I'm prepared, sorry.
Come on, you irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.